Help me to say the things that you would have me say. And Lord, help this to be a time of encouragement for our mothers, of challenge for our mothers, to be able to just realize the great responsibility that has been given to them. We love you, Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen. Well, like I said, we're there in Exodus chapter number 2, and we're talking about the subject of Mother's Day this morning. And I want you to understand, we're going to be talking to mothers this morning, we're going to be preaching to mothers, but you need to understand, you know, maybe you're here and you're a dad, you're a father. You know, what we're talking about for moms applies to dads too. And today we're kind of focusing on mothers, and don't worry, your day's coming here soon on Father's Day. And don't think you better, we're not going to have as nice a gift for you as we did for the moms, okay? So you just get ready for that too. Hey, aren't you? Those are pretty cool gifts, huh? I went to churches where they gave out, the Mother's Day gift they gave out was a ribbon and a bookmark, you know, so that's pretty good there. But we want to talk to moms, and I just want you to understand, this applies to all of us. Maybe you're here and you're not a mom, but you may be a future mom. Maybe you're here and your time of being a mother is done, but you're a grandmother. Your influence is still the same. And this lesson can be applied to any one of our lives. And I want you to say, I don't want to be long. You know, we have the kids sing, we have the gift, it's Mother's Day, some of you want to get home to your moms, or you want to take your mom out for lunch, I understand that. I don't want to be very long this morning, but we do want to give the Word of God its priority. And we're there in Exodus chapter 2, and if you just turn over to Exodus chapter 1, and you look at verse number 8, I just want you to see this story. You know, and you're familiar with the story of Moses, the story of Egypt. The Egyptians, the Israelites, are in bondage in Egypt. And the Egyptians have decreed, because they're afraid that the Israelites are going to rise up against them, and they've decreed that every male child should be put to death. If you're there in Exodus chapter 1, look at verse number 8, just so you get the context. The Bible says, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Remember, Joseph brought the children of Israel into Egypt. Joseph was favored. Joseph was blessed. But a king arose up who, the Bible says, which knew not Joseph. Verse 9, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah, and he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. So Pharaoh, you know, they put the Israelites in bondage. They put them in slavery. Pharaoh says to the midwives, hey, when they have a child, if it's a male, put them to death. Now, I don't want to read the whole text there, but the midwives refused to do that. They went against civil law. And you got to remember that it's always right to do right. And sometimes, you know, doing God's law makes you know, means we have to break man's law, and we ought to try to keep man's law when it is parallel to God's law, but we ought to obey God rather than men. This is what the midwives are doing. The Pharaoh told them to do something wicked. Pharaoh told them to do something evil. He told them to put male babies to death, and they refused to do it, and God took care of them. But if you look at verse 22, Pharaoh kind of usurps his authority over the midwives, and in verse 22 it says, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So they get to the point where when they have a baby, because Pharaoh was trying to do it kind of, it was like a conspiracy, really. He was trying to do it in a way where the midwives kind of killed the babies as they were born, and then they just kind of would tell the ladies, like, hey, your baby was born dead. But now he takes it publicly and he says, I don't care. I don't care if they have the baby before you get their midwife. As soon as the baby's born, if it's a male, I want you to throw it in the river. I want you to put it to death. This is the culture and the society that Moses was born into. And Moses had a mother by the name of Jochebed. And her name is not found in the story here in Exodus 2. We know that that's her name because if you want to take notes, if you're interested, Exodus chapter number 6 and verse 20 and Numbers 26 and 59 tells us that his mother's name was Jochebed. But Moses had a mother. If you go back to Exodus chapter 2, if you look at verse 1, the Bible says, "There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife the daughter of Levi." This is Jochebed. Verse 2, "And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." So here, you've got Moses' dad and Moses' mom have a child at the time when the law is that if a male is born, he's to be thrown into the river, he's to be put to death. Moses is born, they hide Moses as long as they can for 3 months, and it gets to a point where obviously children make noise and children start, it starts being obvious that you have a child with you, and it gets to a point where they just don't know what to do. And if you look at verse 3, and I know you're familiar with the story, but let's just look at it again. "And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flax by the river's brink." So she makes a little ark for the child. And she put Moses in this ark, and she puts him on the river, and she sends him downstream. Now, and this is, I'll give you a little bit of my opinion, and if you disagree with me, that's fine, we can still be friends. But, I've always heard this preached that Moses' mother had great faith, and she put the child in the river, and she just let God deal with him. And, I'm not saying that that's not true, and I'm not saying that that's not what happened. But when I read this, I think this is more of a setup. I mean, Jochebed loved God, and she loved, and she had great faith, but she wasn't a dumb woman either. And I think she knew that downriver was Pharaoh's daughter taking a bath. And she thought to herself, I'm going to send my baby downriver here, and hopefully this woman will have compassion on him. And that's kind of my take. It seems like a setup. You say, why do you think it's a setup? Look at verse 4. And his sister stood afar off to wit what we've done to him. So she tells her daughter, follow Moses as he's going downriver. Make sure he's okay. Make sure he gets to where we're going. Verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, so she already knows what to say, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. Now, don't just read over that. Realize this. At a time when male children are being put to death, God worked it out so that Jochebed could not only have her child, the Bible says she's getting paid to nurse the child. And she's nursing this child for Pharaoh's daughter, and God worked it out so that Jochebed could have her child and her child could live. Now you got to understand this. Moses was nursed by his mother, but when he was weaned, he was given back to Pharaoh's daughter to be raised as an Egyptian, to be raised as part of the royal family of Egypt. Jochebed only had her son for the time that you would nurse a child. Now, in our society, you nurse a child for 1 year, 2 years. But, you got to understand, and this may be odd to you, and it's odd to me, but in different cultures where resources aren't like they are here in America, and where things aren't like we have here in the U.S., it's not, it's normal for a mother to wean a child to even 4 years old. And I know to nurse a mother to even 4 years old. And I know to us that's odd, and that's weird, and we would think, that's not cool. But in other cultures, that happens. And here, they were living in bondage, they were living in slavery, they were living in a time when things were not okay. And it would totally be normal for her to be nursing Moses to maybe 3 years old, 4 years old. And if she knows that as soon as Moses is weaned, he's going to be taken away from her, well, she probably milked that time. Literally.
My wife told me not to sell that joke, but I just got to help myself.
I mean, she's probably nursing him till as long as she can. I mean, would you not agree? If you're the mom, as soon as I'm done nursing, as soon as I wean him, they're going to take him away. Look at verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, I'd like for you to go with me to the book of Acts in the New Testament. Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. And look at verse number 20. In Acts chapter 7, you have Stephen preaching his great message in the book of Acts. And Stephen is kind of going through and giving a detailed history of the children of Israel. And he gets in verse 20 to the subject of Moses. And in Acts chapter 7, in verse 20, the Bible tells us about Moses. Acts chapter 7, in the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 7, and look at verse number 20. The Bible says, in which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in word and deed. And you got to understand this. Moses was taken from Jochebed. At, you know, we don't know what age it was. It might have been 2 years old, might have been 4 years old. We don't know what it is. But he was taken from her, and he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter as an Egyptian prince, as royalty. Now you gotta understand this. These were not the best circumstances to raise a child in. Would you not agree? This was not, you know, being in slavery and being born at a time in your slavery when male children are being put to death is not the best time to bring a child. We would think, by human standards, we would think it's not the best time to bring a child into the world. These were not the circumstances. And by the way, it's not our place to decide when it's time to bring a child into the world. The Bible says that God should decide that. Amen. And that's a sermon for another time. But, you know, Jochebed had this child, and the situation was not ideal. But I want you to understand something about Jochebed. She will go down in history as being one of the greatest mothers that ever lived. And, you know, we don't know a lot about Jochebed. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Jochebed. This may be the first time you even heard her name. But Jochebed was a great mother. And you may be asking yourself, why was she such a good mother? What was so good? What was so great about her? Here's what you got to understand. The Egyptians have put the Israelites into bondage. They are enslaved. They have no rights. They're getting beat. They're getting, you know, just taken advantage of. The male children are being put to death. And Moses has been delivered from that. And he's not only has been given his freedom, he not only gets to now live the life of an Egyptian, he gets to live the life of an Egyptian royalty. I mean, the Bible says he was learned. We just read there in Acts chapter 7 that he was learned by the Egyptians. He lives in royalty. He lives in comfort. The rest of his life is completely just made out for him. He's going to have no problems. He's going to have no issues. He's never going to have anybody beat him. He's never going to have anybody boss him around. He's never going to have to deal with the things that the children of Israel were going through. I mean, this guy is set for the rest of his life. And at the year, at the 40 years of age, Moses did something that I think probably surprised everyone. And at 40 years old, Moses comes full circle back to God. Are you there in Acts chapter 7? Look at verse 23. The Bible says, and when he was full 40 years old. Now don't miss this phrase. It came into his heart. You see that? It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood how. Notice what came into his heart. This is what came into Moses' heart at the age of 40 years old. He supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them, but they understood it not. Now, you got to understand this, okay? Moses is rushing something here that God is going to use him. God did use Moses to deliver the children of Israel, but it was not the right time. And Moses did it the wrong way. Moses killed a man, Moses buried a man, and God had to mature Moses, and Moses had to go in the wilderness for another 40 years before God would bring him back into Egypt. And of course, we know the story of the 10 plagues, and thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And it was true that it was not the right time for Moses to deliver the people. But you got to understand this, in his heart, he believed that God was going to use him to deliver the people. Now, you got to understand this, okay? Go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And we're going to be studying Hebrews 11 in depth on Sunday nights. And we invite you to be with us. I don't want to spend too much time in Hebrews 11. But I want you to see just a couple things. Hebrews chapter number 11, towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 11.
If you get to James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Jude, Revelation, went a little too far. Hebrews chapter number 11. Look at verse number 23. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 23. The Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months in his parent, of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. Notice what happened. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. Look what he did. Look what he chose. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, you got to understand this. When you choose to not be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, here's what you're giving up. Comfort. Here's what you're giving up. Money. Here's what you're giving up. Maybe fame. He made a deliberate choice. Nobody forced him. It came into his heart and he decided he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice what he chose. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He chose. Now, he didn't have to. He could have lived in Egypt. He could have been comfortable. He could have been fine. He could have had a great life. He could have got married, had kids, lived in comfort, and just lived a great life by human standards. But at 40 years old, it came into his heart, and he realized this is not what God has for me. God wants to use me in a different way. And here's the thing. He understood this. When I do what God has called me to do, it's going to cause me some affliction. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a sacrifice. And the Bible says, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now keep your finger there in Hebrews chapter 11, because we're going to come back to Hebrews 11. But I ask for you to go with me to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. If you open your Bible just smack down in the center, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you got the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 1. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with Mother's Day? Here's what it has to do with Mother's Day. Jochebed will go down in history as one of the greatest mothers that ever lived. Here's why. Because she had a few short years with her son. I don't know how many years, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, I don't know how long she had with him, but I know, and the Bible doesn't tell us what she did with Moses, the Bible doesn't tell us what, you know, goes into the specifics, but here's what I know that Jacob did, and here's what I know that it is God's purpose and God's plans for everybody. Here you go, moms, I want you to, this is the point of the sermon, here's what I want you to understand, here's what I want you to grab. A mother's purpose is to drive the Word of God and a love for God so deep into the heart of their children, of her children, that they can't do anything but live for God. Your job, you say, my job is to feed my children, or my job is to clothe my children, or my job is to make sure they get educated. No, you understand this. The purpose that God has for you and your children is to drive the Word of God and a love for God so deep into the heart of a child that even if they go off into the world, even if they go live in Egypt, and even if they're gone for decades and decades and decades, you have so driven that truth into their heart that there will come a time when they can't but serve God. That's what the purpose of a mother is. A mother's purpose is to drive God's Word into your heart, the heart of your child. To drive the love of God. Because what would have drawn Moses back if it wasn't that somebody 8 years earlier, and so driven in his heart, Moses, God has something for you. Moses, don't be confused with these Egyptian gods. We serve the God of the Bible. We serve the God, the Almighty God. Moses, let me explain to you about the God that we serve. And Moses, let me explain to you about the heritage that you have. And Moses, I've only got you for a few short years, Moses. I don't know how long it's going to be. And I may not see you for a long time. But I want you to understand it. And Jochebed had to have done something right. That this man, who did not have to choose the affliction, did not have to give up the world, did not have to do the great sacrifice, it came to his heart. Something that mom probably taught him. Mother, your purpose is to drive God's Word and God's and a love for God so deep into the heart of your children that they can't but live for God. You say, well, my child's gone wayward. My child's gone to Egypt. My child's gone to the world. I just happen to believe the Bible when the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
Your job is to drive God's Word into their hearts. Are you there in Proverbs chapter 1? Let me show it to you from Scripture. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 8. And Dad, this applies to you too.
We're focusing on moms, but you could replace the word mother with father, and it's the same thing. A mother's purpose, a father's purpose, is to drive the Word of God and a love for God so deep into the heart of their child that they can't but live for God.
Are you there in Proverbs chapter 1? Look at verse 8. Let me just prove it to you from Scripture. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." So notice, fathers, your job is to be instructing. But it's not just you, fathers. Look what he says. "And forsake not the law of thy mother." You see that? Proverbs chapter number 1, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Why? Look at verse 9. "For they," the word "they" there is referring to the instruction of thy father and to the law of thy mother. Do you understand that? He said, "My son, forsake not the law of thy father, the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. For they," the instruction of a father, "for they," the law of a mother, "shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Here's your job, mom. Here's your job, dad, to instruct that child and give laws to that child so that God's law and God's instruction from God's word, it'll be like an ornament that they wear on their head. It'll be like a chain that they put around their neck. They'll have it with them as they go. Proverbs chapter number 6 says it even more clear than that. Proverbs chapter number 6, you're there in chapter 1. If you go over to chapter 6, Proverbs chapter number 6, look at verse number 20. Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse 20. The Bible says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment." In Proverbs 1, it said, "father's instruction." In chapter 6, it said, "father's commandment." It says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Do you see that? We're talking about the law of thy mother. And in verse 21, he talks about the father's instruction, and he talks about the law of thy mother. Notice verse 21. He says, "bind them." The word "them" is referring to the commandments of the father. It's referring to the law of the mother. He says, "bind them continually upon thine heart." You see, that goes with our first sermon in our first key of 5 keys on liking God's blessing, having God's word in your heart. Mom, it is your job to put God's word and God's law and God's instruction and God's commandment so deep into the heart of that child. Bind them continually. You notice the word "continually"? Continually means all the time. Continually. Continuing. Not just something we do on Sunday morning. Not just something we do on Easter. Not just something we do on Christmas. Not just something we do every once in a while when we get religious. He said, "bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck." Your job is to give them God's word so much that you tie it around their neck. You say, "here, take this everywhere you go." Look at verse 22. "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproof of instructions are..." Here's your job. You say, "Pastor, what is my job as a mother? What is my job as a father? What is my job with my children?" Your job, your purpose, is to drive God's word and our love for God so deep into the heart of a child. Notice, I love how it says in Proverbs 6:23 that it becomes the way of life for them. That's your job. That's what you've been called to do. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Keep your finger there in Proverbs, please, because we're going to come back to Proverbs. But go to Deuteronomy. I know you're in Hebrews 11, you're in Proverbs. Go to Deuteronomy. And we're almost done. We're not going to spend a lot of time, okay? I know it's Mother's Day. You need to go call your mom. So Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look at verse Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I just want you to understand this, okay? And I know it's a simple sermon. I know it's a simple statement. I know it's a simple point. Here's what you say, what do you want us to remember? Here's what I want you to remember, especially you, Mom. I want you to remember your purpose, your job, is to do what Jochebed did. And whatever she did, she got something into the heart of that young boy, Moses. Because he got to the place at 40 years old when he said, "I've got to do what's in my heart. I've got to do what's came to my heart." What came to your heart, Moses? That God has a purpose for me. That God has a plan for me. That God has something he'd like me to do. I've got to refuse Pharaoh. I've got to refuse Egypt. I know it's going to be affliction. I know I'm going to suffer. But I can't sit here. And the Bible says he chose rather to suffer the affliction of the peoples of God than to endure the pleasure of sin for a season. Here's a question I have for you, Mom and Dad. What are you teaching your children? What about your life? What instruction are you giving your child? Because, see, I'm afraid that moms today are instilling more of a love of Facebook into their children than a love of God. I'm afraid that we're instilling a love of YouTube into our children, but we're not really instilling a love of God's Word. I'm afraid that we, you know, and you just got to ask yourself, what is it that you are teaching your child, Mom? What is it that you're teaching your child, Dad, when your children never see you pray, never see you read the Bible, never have you pray with them, never have you read the Bible with them, you never talk about the things of God? I mean, what are we teaching our children? We're teaching, I'll tell you exactly what we're teaching our children. We're teaching our children that, you know, God is something we do on Sunday morning. God is something we do when it's convenient. God is something we do when the weather's good. God is something we do when there's no traffic. God is something we do. I just want to admonish you, Mom, and I want to admonish you, Dad, that you may have your child more than the time that you're going to wean them, but you only have them for a short amount of time. You don't have them for a long time. 18 years, 20 years, 28 years, some of you, okay? But you don't have your kids for a long time. What are you saying? What are you doing with it? What are you teaching them? You know, my mom and dad weren't perfect. My mom and dad are here this morning. I don't want to embarrass them. They weren't perfect. But you know, I love the fact that, you know what, you know, if there's one thing my mom and dad taught me, it's put God first in every area of my life. I remember when I was a child, my brother and I played baseball. And I didn't like it at the time. But you know, I remember my dad said, you guys are going to play baseball, but you're never going to miss church to play baseball. I remember we'd have games on Wednesday nights. And my dad would let us play up until 6:45. Why? Because church started at 7. We had 15 minutes to get there, and we went to church every Wednesday night. Never skip. I mean, I never missed school, but I'll tell you this. I knew in my family, we would miss school before we missed church. My dad would just, you don't work during church time. You don't work on Sunday. You're in church Sunday morning. You're in church Sunday night. You're in church Wednesday night. We read the Bible as a family. We prayed as a family. We went soul winning as a family. They weren't perfect. They weren't, you know, they made mistakes. All parents do. But you know, today I don't have a problem with showing up to church on Sunday night. Today I don't have a problem with coming to church on Sunday morning. Today, I don't have a problem throwing my tithe into the offering plate. You know why? Because from a child, I had a mom and I had a dad. Then we would do a chore and they'd give us $10 and they would teach us, make sure you put your dollar in the offering plate because you've got to give God his 10%. And you're not going to be perfect and you're going to make mistakes, but Mom, Dad, what are you teaching your children? You know, we're going into summer months, and as you go into summer, you're going to take vacations. I get that. I'm glad for you. I want you to take vacations. But you know what you would do for your child if while you're on vacation, you found the church to go to? You know what you do for your child? You would teach your child that we put God first, no matter where we go. You know what you would do for your child is you, but see, we live in a society today where it's like, well, we're on vacation, so if we're on vacation from God, you're never on vacation from God. Amen. We got to get to the place, but what do we teach them? We teach them, we're going to church tonight, Mom. Oh, I'm kind of tired. So we serve God only when you're not tired? Can we go? Reread the Bible? Well, just get to bed. Look, I do it. But it's wrong. Because you only have them for a certain amount of time. And you can put them in all the activities you want. You can homeschool them all you want. You can have all the different things you want. And I'm for homeschooling. I think every parent ought to homeschool their kids. You say, I don't think, you shouldn't say that, I don't think, look, I'm here to say, you cannot find in the Bible what God ever tells us to give our children to the government to have them educate them. I hate to break it for you. It was always a curse of God when the government came in and took the children from their parents. And you know, Mom said, well, I don't think I can educate my children. You think the government can educate your children? You know, I don't know, I can teach my children biology. The government can't figure out the difference between a man and a woman. Okay, let me break it to you. They can't figure, you know, same sex marriage. I think you can teach your children biology. You know, I don't know if I can teach my kids math. You think our government's good at math? Have you seen the debt they're in? They can't figure out how to add. They can't figure out how to write. I'm going to tell you, Mom, God gave you that child. God is going to help you raise that child. Because he gave him to you, not to Obama. He gave him to you, not to the Sacramento County and the city county. And that's a rant. And if that offends you, I'm sorry. But you got to understand this. God gave you that child. I'm not against you if you don't homeschool your kids. I love you. I'm just here to tell you, God gave you those children. And you better be careful what they're being taught in that public school. Because they are being taught that sodomy is okay. They're being taught. They're reading books that says, you know, I have two mommies. That's being taught in the schools. They're being taught evolution. I'm just here to tell you, what are you doing with the time you have with your children? What are you instilling in them?
Well, Pastor, you don't understand. If we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if I took my kids all over with me, if I read the Bible with them every night, if I prayed with them every morning, if I did everything they tell me to do, that would be such a great sacrifice.
I wonder if Jochebed sacrificed, and because of that, Moses understood, I'm going to sacrifice. And I'm going to choose rather the affliction of the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season.
See, here's what we're teaching our kids. We serve God when it's happy time. We serve God when things are going good. But as soon as I get sad, as soon as I get depressed, as soon as things don't go my way, I'm going to throw a fit and I'm going to get mad at God. And here's what you're instilling in your children.
God's not that important. Or God's the one we blame when things don't go right.
Or God's the one we visit when it's comfortable. I'm just here to tell you the purpose for a mother is to instill the love of God and the Word of God so deep into a child's heart, they can't but serve God with their lives. I don't know what Jochebed did. I can't tell you what curriculum she used to homeschool Moses.
I don't know what their schedule was for Bible time at home. I don't know what she did, but I know this. She got something into the heart of that guy.
Got something into the heart of that child. And even 40 years later, he said, this is all I can do. I can't but serve God in my life.
God has called you
to raise your children for God. Are you there in Deuteronomy chapter 6? And I know you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, that is crazy, that's radical. And if you're not ready for all that, I get that. I'm not against you. We want to come alongside and help you raise your children. We're not here to beat you up. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you look at verse number 6, I just want you to see, because sometimes people hear that and think that's so radical. But you understand, this is what God said. Are you there in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Look at verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words, this is God speaking. And these words which I command, it's God speaking through Moses, we understand. The inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And these words which I command thee this day, notice how consistent the Bible is, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. It doesn't say it's a pastor's job to teach them to your children. And I want to try to help you teach the Word of God to your children. But you understand this. People get this idea. I'll bring my kids to church, and I'll let the pastor preach at them, and when they go off into the world, it's the pastor's fault. It's the pastor's fault because he didn't have a Sunday school, and it's the pastor's fault because he didn't have a youth group, and it's the pastor's fault because he didn't take him to this place, and didn't take him to that place.
Maybe it's your fault, Mom. Maybe it's your fault, Dad, that they didn't see a consistent Christian life at home.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you haven't done such a good job at putting the Word of God into their heart. God gave you those kids.
He says, and thou, verse 7, and thou shalt teach them. He's talking to parents. He says, it's you.
That's why I love the King James Bible. That word thou there, that is singular. That's not plural. You is plural. Thou is singular. He's saying, you, Mom, you, Dad, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. When's the last time you taught your children the Word of God?
And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gate.
He says, I want you to have the Word of God around those kids all the time. When you wake up, talk about the Word of God. When you lay down, talk about the Word of God. As you're going down the road, talk about the Word of God. Write it on your post. Put it on their hand.
He said, teach them. He said, inundate them with the Word of God. Now today, here's what people tell you today. You want to know what they'll say? They'll say, you're sheltering those kids. You're overdoing them. They're going to rebel. God says, look, I want you to drive my word so deep into their heart. I want you to just have it around them all the time.
I'm sure people told Jochebed, see, your son went off into the world. Always taking him to church. That was a problem. To have family time.
You know there's 6 other days for family time?
Amen.
Give God his time.
You're always taking them to church. Always talking about the Bible. You burnt them out. I wonder if they were saying the same thing when Moses became the greatest man in the Old Testament.
Right.
One of the greatest prophets that ever lived. One of the greatest men that ever walked on this earth. And he had a testimony, like you and I have a testimony. He spent time in Egypt. He spent time in the world. He spent time in sin.
But Mom did something. So powerful. He couldn't but help
to serve God. He says, talk about it. At my home, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. Try to talk to our kids about the Bible. Try to talk to them about the Word of God just all the time.
My wife has Bible time with them in the morning. I try to have Bible time with them at night. We try to talk as we're going. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I think, you know, what are we doing? Sometimes, you know, just a couple days ago,
kids would only come into the house, you know, yelling at for Mom. Mom, you know, my brother's trying to do this or whatever.
My son Joshua walks into the house.
He says, Mom!
My wife's like, what's happening? Joel's trying to stone me. And here comes Joel with 2 rocks. You know, just running behind him.
way of life in your children's life. It ought to be something you're always before them. Always before them. What's always before your children? SpongeBob? What's always before your children? Television? Facebook? Video games? Look, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just trying to... What's the priority in your life, Mom? What's the priority in your life? See, your job, Mom, is you live a godly life and then you instill that in your children. Can you get back to Proverbs? We'll look at two verses. We're done, okay? Two verses, we're done. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is a very famous passage known as the virtuous woman. If you're single, you're a single guy, you ought to memorize Proverbs 31. Okay, why would I do that?
So when you meet the right girl, you know who it is.
Honestly. Proverbs 31. You marry a Proverbs 31 woman. Trust me. You'll be glad you did. Proverbs 31. I'm not going to go through Proverbs 31. I just want you to see one verse. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The Bible says her children arise up and call her blessed. Why? Because she feareth the Lord. Can you get back to Hebrews chapter 11? We're done right here. Hebrews chapter 11. A mother's purpose is to drive the word of God and a love of God so deep into the heart of a child that they can't help but live for God. That's your job. Hebrews 11:27. I think this is so interesting. It says this about Moses. And this ought to be our goal. Hebrews 11:27 says, by faith, he, talking about Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So here's what he did. He forsook the world. He did not fear the wrath of the king. Why? Here's why. For he endured... Don't miss this. To me, this is such a powerful statement. For he endured... This is Moses. 40 years after... 40, he hasn't been with his mom for 40 years, haven't been with dad for 40 years, been living in Egypt for 40 years. And it says, for he endured as, notice these words, seeing him who is invisible. Our goal should be to drive the word of God and a love for God so deep into the heart of our children that it would make God so real in their lives that they would almost feel like they can see the invisible God. God that real in your home? Is God that real in your life, Mom? Your life, Dad? I don't know what Jochebed did.
Somehow she put so much into the heart of that child that Moses said, it's almost like I can see the invisible God. I know what he wants me to do.
Can you imagine the generation of young children that we
can imagine the spiritual revolution that we fighting?
I don't know what I'm going to do with all these other things, and I don't know about all these activities, and I don't know about sports, and I don't know about all these other programs, but here's what, if there's one thing I'm going to do with my children, is I'm going to
drive the Word of God and a love for God so deep into the heart of that child that he can't but serve God.
I think, Mom, you would be happy with that.
I think, Dad, you would be happy.
That's all. That's your purpose. Jochebed, she understood that.
All right, heaven, have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you.
And Father, I pray that everyone in this room would receive the sermon in the spirit in which it was given. My job is not to beat people up. That's not what I want to do. I know we all struggle, and I know we all fail. I know I don't give my children the example that they need every day.
But Father, help us, please, to live.
Help us to live with a purpose for our children.
So many of us are just trying to feed them, clothe them, and get them out of the house.
Help us to value the time we have with them. Help us to realize we only have them for a short amount of time. I need to try to get so much into that heart. Because I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know where she's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. They might go into Egypt and they might go into the world, but I can just get it in their heart. Father, I believe your word would do the rest. Father, I pray there'd be a mother today that would just reaffirm in her heart. Maybe she's been a little lazy. Maybe she's been a little distracted. Maybe she's been thinking about other things. I pray that there'd be a mom. I pray that there'd be a dad that would reaffirm in their hearts today, I need to get back to my purpose. Teach my children to give Jesus Christ the preeminence in their lives. Drive it so far into their heart, they can't do anything else. Father, we love you. Thank you for our mothers. Lord, thank you for my mother, for the influence and blessing that she was in my life. Love you, Lord, in your precious name I pray. Amen.